Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zorah, Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We are opening our Sugya today in the middle of a discussion. The general discussion concerns the topic of Zeh V'Zeh Goreim, a product that results from two inputs, one being allowed and one being usur, one being forbidden. The example we saw in the Mishnah concerned the planting of vegetables underneath an idol tree during the winter season, where you have foliage falling onto the plants, foliage coming from the forbidden of Asherah tree, and the ground being a goreim, a cause of heter, insofar as that the ground itself is mutter. That's an example of zeh v'zeh goreim. We have seen other examples of zeh v'zeh goreim in the course of the sugya. To appreciate the Gemara at best, it's of course important to have learned the previous shiur, that especially from the Mishnah at the lower part of Mem Ches Amid Beis. It's not really within the purview of this particular shiur to go over all of the material that we have seen. However, the general theme here is to establish consistency in opinions. What is Shitas Reb Yossi with regard to Zeh V'Zeh Goreim? The last point that we ended up with in the Gemara was saying as follows. Reb Yossi, in the realm of Avodah Zorah, will hold that Zeh V'Zeh Goreim is a problem, is usur. And that was reflected by what we saw in the Mishnah, where he said, do not plant vegetables under the Asherah tree during the winter season, because there is a goreim of isur. However, with regard to other areas of halacha, for example, Orla, we saw a source at the end of Mem Ches Amud Beis suggesting Reb Yossi is lenient with regard to Zeh V'Zeh Goreim. That was the case of someone who planted an egoiz of Orla, that if one did plant an Orla nut and it grew into a tree, since you have the ground contributing to the development of that tree, even though there is a goreim of isur, the Orla fruit, the Orla egoiz, nevertheless, the tree is allowed. In the course of the discussion, we were introduced to two sources that are contained in a framed source at the upper part of our Omid Mem Tes Omid Aleph. One is labeled with an Aleph in a diamond, Toni Chada, and a second source labeled with a Beis in a diamond. The source was dealing with things related to Zeh V'Zeh Goreim. The Aleph source indicated you can be mekil, and the Beis source indicated that you have to be strict, you have to be machmir, you have to be strict. Who are the authors of these two sources? So the last point of the Gemara that we left off with in our previous shiur was that the machmir opinion there is Rebbe Eliezer, and the mekil, the Aleph source, is the Rabbonan. As we go on in the Gemara that we begin today's shiur with, you'll notice a bracketed section. In fact, it's a rather long section that we have included in brackets. The length of this is indicated by the length marker. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a dashed, dotted, vertical line. If you scan down to the end of that marker, you'll notice in the middle of that particular line at the end, you see the closing of the brackets. In our Gemara markings, we attempt to explain the role of brackets whenever they appear. In this case, we have an explanation of the brackets on the inside margin of our Gemara. And let's read that. It says, Acharei ha-sugrayim, after the brackets, we have a little parenthesis here, skipping the parentheses, we say ha-gemora choyzeres la-hamodo shel Rabbi Yosi, who's mekil v'rabonan. We're going to return to that which we said just before this Gemara. In other words, we had a statement in our Gemara that begins the line above the beginning of the brackets. The Gemara said, "My lav ha Reb Yosi v'ha Rabbonan," that established the two diamond sources, the Aleph and Beis, the Tani Chada and the Tani Idoch. We established them like Reb Yosi and the Rabbonan. That created a difficulty for our sugya. We got out of the difficulty by saying, no, it's not Reb Yosi and the Rabbonan, but rather it's Reb Elozer and the Rabbonan. After the brackets, the Gemara comes back to say that in fact the two sources are Reb Yosi and the Rabbonan. That will be the subject at that point. Let's go over the note that we have. Again, the bracket description note. We've written in Acharei HaSograyim, after the brackets, Shebesoichem HaGemora Hitkashe Limtso Rabbonan Decholkin Mul Rebbe Elozer Lekula. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will have a difficulty finding a lenient Rabbonan Shita to stand in contrast to Rebbe Eliezer, who we are suggesting is Machmir. So we're going to have a difficulty trying to account for the two shitas that the Gemara had concluded with just before the brackets, Ha Rebbe Elozer v'Ha Rabbonan. Maybe we'll find a Rebbe Elezer who is Machmir in the realm of Zeh v'Zeh Goreim, but we won't be so successful in finding a Rabbonan that are Mekil. So after that, Ha Gemara Choyzeres l'Hamodo Shel Rebbe Yosi v'Rabbonan. Once again, the Hamodosh Rabbi Yosi de Mekil. We're then going to go back to that which we didn't accept. We're going to then go back and yes accept, establishing the Aleph source, the Aleph in the diamond that said Soda Tizra Poro Tishchat. That Aleph diamond source that says it suggests Zeh v'Zeh Goreim is Mutter. We're going to set that up like Rabbi Yosi and say that in Zeh v'Zeh Goreim Rabbi Yosi is in fact Mekil. The Rabbonan, and the Rabbonan will be the Machmir. U Masbira Loma Ein Stira Al Reb Yosi de Masnisin Shehichmir. And then our job will be to say that there is no contradiction within Reb Yosi with regard to Reb Yosi in the Mishnah, where we see that he is Machmir with regard to Zeh v'Zeh Goreim. So let's go over that point again. In the diamond sources that we've labeled Aleph and Beis in diamonds, that you see 5 and 6 lines from the top of our Omid, we see Soda Tizra Pora Tishchat in the realm of idol worship. This is a topic of Zeh v'Zeh Goreim, and we'll label Zeh v'Zeh Goreim Mutter in idolatry as Shitas Reb Yosi. But when you look at the Mishnah, you see an idolatry source, the planting of the vegetables under the Asherah tree, the leaves constituting a goreim of Isser, and Reb Yosi is restrictive in Zeh v'Zeh Goreim within idolatry. The Gemara, after the brackets, its job will be to extricate us from this seeming contradiction in Reb Yosi, if in fact, as the Gemara will do, insist that the Aleph source is Reb Yosi. But in the meantime, we have to deal with the entire Gemara in the brackets. At this point, the Gemara is working with the assumption that the Machmir of Zeh v'Zeh Goreim is Rebbe Eliezer, and the Mekil is the Rabbonan. The Gemara will be asking, well, where do we find them saying these things? As we turn to the bracketed Gemara, we have some new geometric forms that we want to account for. We do this through our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You see a bow tie form. Chipus achar Rebbe Eliezer shemachmir v'rabbonan shemekilim. We're going to be searching for a Rebbe Eliezer who would be restrictive in Zeh v'Zeh Goreim, and the Rabbonan who are lenient with regard to Zeh v'Zeh Goreim. Umemelo mikotoni aleph ubeis. And with that, then, we'll be able to label the Aleph source, which was Mekil, according to the Rabbanan, and the Bay source, which was Machmir. The Bay source says Soda Tovor Uporot Tirzeh, and we'll be able to attach that to Rabbi Eliezer if we're successful. We'll also be seeing, as we go, as you scan ahead in the page, a house marking. We see the house marking around two expressions. One expression is Seor, and the second expression is Eitzim. These are simply for convenience purposes so that we can refer to the brisis by name, the Seor source and the Eitzim source. Let us now begin the Gemara, bearing in mind our job is to label the Aleph and Bay's sources, namely 5 and 6 lines from the top, with names, one source being Mekil and one source being Machmir. So the Gemara said just before the brackets that Rabbi Eliezer will be the Machmir and the Rabbanan would be the Mekil. So the Gemara asks, hey, Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbanan, where do we see them? So initially, the Gemara says, Ilema, or if you say from the following, Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbanan de Seor, the truth is that we should note that this Ilema is a suggestion, but as you know, in the Shas, Ilemas are almost always rejected. So this particular suggestion is itself a long suggestion that goes. It's a suggestion that will itself be rejected in the course of the discussion, and that will take you down quite a few lines till you'll notice where the Gemara says Elo Rabbi Eliezer, and if you follow our length marker that's provided, this vertical vertical dotted line will take you down to where this whole Ilema section ends, which will bring you then to Elo Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbanan de Eitzim. So we have this Ilema here. This is a suggestion. It will be rejected in the middle. And then it'll come up with a new suggestion for where do we see a Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan that we're looking for. So that bearing that in mind, we continue. So if you say that the Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan are found in the case of Seor, once again we're dealing with Zeh v'zeh goreim, Tisnan. We have a source here that deals with the making of bread. In making of bread, one wants it to rise. There's a substance that's called sourdough that's used in, it's an intense type of dough that's been fermented that causes other dough, when it's mixed in, to rise. Here we're going to talk about sourdough, some of which is chulin, which is a common food allowed to be consumed by everybody, and some of which is truma, truma being that which is allowed only for kehanim. For our purposes, the truma will be called a goreim of iser. So the source continues. Sa'or shel chulin. Sa'or is the sourdough of chulin v'shel truma. Shenoflu l'tocho isa. They fell into a batter of dough of chulin. Lo bozeh kedei l'chametz v'lo bozeh kedei l'chametz. There is not enough of chulin sourdough, nor enough of the truma sourdough to cause the batter to rise. V'nitztarfu v'chimtzu. They joined up, and together they caused the chamitza, the fermentation, the rising. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achar acharon ani ba. Rabbi Eliezer says, I look at the last one to fall in. If the last one was mutter, was chulin, then the batter is okay. If the last one is truma, then it's not okay. V'chachomim omrim, bein shenofal isur l'chadchilo, bein shenofal isur l'besof. Whether the iser fell in at the beginning or it fell in at the end, eino oser, ad she bo kedei l'chametz, unless there would be enough of the truma on its own to cause the rising. The Omar Abaye, lo shanu, elo shekidam v'silek esu iser. the Abaye explains Rebbe Elazar, who said that I determine things by the last one to fall in, and if the last one to fall in was Chulin, I will matir it, I will allow it. This allowance, this leniency, is true only if before the Chulin fell in, he took out the Truma sourdough from the batter. That's Ela Shekidim Vesilika So Isur. Avalokidim Vesilika So Isur, Usur. If he doesn't remove the Truma from the batter, even if the Chulin fell in second, both are there. And you have a case of Ze Vze Goreim. You've got the Goreim of Isur and the Goreim of Heter present. Well, you would see from here, you would see till this point that Ze Vze Goreim is Usur according to Rebbe Eliezer. And that would be the Elema. So if you say that, the Gemara rejects that. And you see here we have a Dechia. Umimai the Taimo de Rebbe Elazar b'Kida Abaye. Who says that the real explanation of Rebbe Eliezer is the way Abaye explained things? Dilmo Taimo de Rebbe Elazar mishum de achar acharon ani ba. Maybe we should take Rebbe Eliezer at face value and look at what he says literally. Just follow the last thing to fall in. Igomir b'isura usur. If it's completed through the truma, through the forbidden, then the whole batter is usur. Igomir b'hetera. If it is completed by the chulin having fallen in, by falling in second, it is the completion element. So then mutter. Bain salke, bain lo salke. Whether he removed the forbidden stuff or left it in there. In other words, even if he left the forbidden material in there, since the mutter material fell in second, it's okay. So you'd have a situation of Rebbe Elazar saying Zeh v'zeh goreim is mutter. And if they both fell in at the same time, then it would be mutter, because Rebbe Elazar holds Zeh v'zeh goreim is mutter. So we haven't found, if you are going to rely on the Seor source to establish Rebbe Elazar's stringency with regard to Zeh v'zeh goreim, it's not advised. Elo Rebbe Elazar v'rabbonon di'etzim. Disnan. We have a new source in which we will hope to see Rebbe Elazar saying that Zeh v'zeh goreim is usur. The source says, Disnan. Notal heimeno eitzim. One took from an asherah tree, an idol worship tree, wood. He took from the asherah some wood. Asura bano, the wood is forbidden to benefit from. Hisik bo esatanor. He used the wood in firing up a clay oven. Chodosh yutatz. If it's a brand new oven that is now being strengthened by its first fire up, as many of you may know, in order to strengthen clay products, one exposes them to an intense heat. So if this is a new clay oven and its strengthening is going to be a result of the forbidden wood, then the oven must be smashed. Its whole existence is a result of that which is forbidden. Yoshan, if it was an old oven, namely it was an oven that was made under perfectly acceptable circumstances, and now he's using the asherah wood to heat up the oven for baking purposes. Yutsan, we tell him, cool off the oven. That when you want to bake, something in there, we don't want you benefiting from the heat that you derive from the asherah wood. Ofo boy esapas asur bahano. If he baked bread under these forbidden circumstances, the Rashi gets into some greater detail. If you look down below in the Rashi, ofo esapas bein bechodosh shetzinino v'chozer v'hisiko be'atzei heter. Let's say he used a new oven that was formed through the heat of the asherah wood. And then that oven was cooled off. We'll call it the forbidden oven. And he then used heter wood. He fired it up later for the baking of this bread with mutter, with allowed wood. another case. Bain b'yoshan, behesik shalatze iser, or he took an allowed oven, a kosher oven, and baked the bread with the asherah wood, with the heat of the asherah wood. Havile b'travayu, both of these examples are zev zeh gorem. Shapas shenefis bo b'chodosh behesik sheni, the bread baked in the new oven, namely the forbidden oven, through a second firing up, namely of heat produced by heter wood, boyade goreim de iser, it comes through a forbidden cause, namely shenishazek bohenatana mirishiso, the oven itself was strengthened through the forbidden wood. The goreim heter the high esek, the heter goreim, the heter cause of this bread happens to be the mutter wood. The Kotani, the source says, Hapas Asuru Rabelozarachil Hani Dmeitzim Liisur Liamamelach. The source tells us, which we have to read, we haven't read that yet, but Rashi is informing us, that Rabelozar says the bread is forbidden, unless he takes the value of the wood that was the value of the Usur wood, the prohibited wood, and cast that into the Dead Sea. What do we see? That until he does that, though, the bread is forbidden. Almo Zevezegorim Usur. So we may have hit the jackpot in finding a source in which Rabbi Eliezer is restrictive with regard to Zev Zeh Goreim. Let's turn back to the source. We're in the middle of the source, the Eitzim source. You can see that, you can spot it easily by Eitzim that's featured in the house marking. In the middle of that framed section, we're talking about now bread that's baked up in one of these situations. Ofa boy esapas, asura bahano. The bread that's baked up in one of these situations, as we just saw extensively in the Rashi, the bread is forbidden to benefit from. Nisarva b'achirim kulan asuras bano. And if this loaf of forbidden bread got mixed up with other loaves of mutter bread, they're all prohibited. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yoli Hanoli Yam HaMelach. The Rabbi Lezer says that You have an option here of taking the value of the usur wood that was part of the cause of the bread getting baked. You take the value of the usur wood and cast that the money into the Dead Sea. You can then benefit from the bread. Until that time, though, and this we want to emphasize, until that time, the bread is forbidden. We see from here, zev zeh goreim is usur. Omru lo, the Chachamim are even more restrictive than Rebbe Elazar and say, "Ain pidyon avodas Chachamim." You don't even have an option of redeeming that which is idol worship related. In this case, you have the wood from the Asherah tree. That wood value has no redemption. At this point, then, we have discovered a Rebbe Eliezer that is restrictive with regard to Zev Zeh Goreim. We can then use this information and label the Bay's source that we saw six lines from the top of the Amid, where you saw an issue concerning Zev Zeh Goreim, and the source said, Soda Tavur Uporot Tirzeh, the field has to be left fallow, and the cow that was raised that ate Usur food, it must be left to thin out, and so as that you don't benefit from it. That Bay's source will be Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara continues, V'rabonan de pligi ole de Rebbe Eliezer. We're searching here for an author for the Aleph source that you saw five lines from the top. That source said that even though you have a field that was fertilized through usur material, you can nevertheless cultivate that field because that's a zev zeh goreim. You have the forbidden fertilizer, but you also have the field, the ground itself, which is a mutter cause. You have zev zeh goreim, and the Aleph source says it's mutter. So we were looking right now for a rabbonan that are mekil. In other words, a rabbonan that stand in contrast to Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara asks, Rabbonan de pligi ole de Rebbe Eliezer man ninu, who are they? E lemo rabbonan de eitzim, if you are going to suggest it's the rabbonan in the source called eitzim, and we have arrows here that label the beginning of that source. You see an arrow here and an arrow above, pointing to the source that you see the house marking, the eitzim source. That can't be. They're not our candidate because achmuri machmuri. They are stringent. They're even more stringent than Rebbe Eliezer. Elo, Rabbonan de Seor. Maybe we can use the Rabbonan of the Seor source as our candidate for the Rabbanan that are Mekil. We saw, in fact, that in the Rabbanan, in the Seor source, and by the way, to the immediate right, left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see another arrow, and you can just scan up and you'll see a parallel arrow pointing to the beginning of the Seor source. Well, it's true that in that source, the Rabbanan were Mekil. In that source, we had the Truma and the Chulin Seor that fell into a batter, and they said that the batter is okay, provided that the Osir dough is insufficient on its own to cause the rising. So maybe they're our candidate for the Aleph source that we saw five lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Amar d'shamis l'rabbonan d'mekili b'sor. It may very well be that the Rabbonan adopt a lenient opinion with regard to the Seor. However, b'avodis kechava mi mekili. But with regard to an issue concerning Avodah Zorah, like you have in the Bay source, who says they will be Mekil? After all, idolatry is a strict area. So, Be'avodis Kochovim, like we saw in the Aleph case, who says that the Rabbonan would be Mekil? At this point then, to rely on the resolution or the establishing of sources Aleph and Beis, five and six lines from the top, and labeling them Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim, that we cannot do. Eloli Oilom, Rabbi Yossi, Eloli Oilom, Ha Rabbi Yossi, the Ha Rabbanan. Rather, let us go back and say that it's Aleph will be Rabbi Yossi, who is Mekil in Zevezegorim, the Ha Rabbanan, and the Bay source, which is restrictive, will correspond to the Rabbanan who are Machmir with regard to Zevezegorim. By the way, where did we see Rabbi Yossi being Mekil with regard to Zev Ezegorim? Well, we saw him three lines from the bottom on Mem Ches Amid Beis, where Rabbi Yossi said if a tree was planted through an orla fruit, if it grew, it's mutter. If that be the case, though, that Rabbi Yossi is Mekil with regard to Zevezegorim, and you're going to tell me that he's Mekil even within the realm of Avodah Zorah, because you're going to label the Aleph source as according to Rabbi Yossi, what about the Mishnah, which implied that Rabbi Yossi was Machmir? Because he said in the Mishnah, you cannot plant the vegetables under the Asherah tree in the winter because it's going to benefit from the foliage that turns into fertilizer. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yossi l'divrayim d'Rabbonon ko'omar lehu. Rabbi Yossi is addressing the Rabbonon on their terms. You'll notice we have a double underline here. This represents Rabbi Yossi's opinion of the Rabbonon. And then a second double underline will have the Rabbonon's response. What is Rabbi Yossi saying in the Mishnah? L'didi zev zegorim mutter. As far as I'm personally concerned, two causes, one being mutter and one being prohibited, the result is allowed. L'didchu diamrisu zev zegorim osir. But according to you, who holds that Zev Ezegorim is osur, and by the way, where did we see the Rabbonan that hold that? Well, we saw them very clearly in the case of in the Tanaic source that was quoted toward the lower part of Mem Ches Amid Beis, where Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonan appeared in Shochek Vezorah LeRuach. The Rabbonan were concerned there with the filings turning into fertilizer. So we see them as being prohibitive with regard to two causes, where the filings in that case would have been the prohibited goreim, the prohibited cause, and the ground on which they fell would be the mutter, the allowed cause, and yet they were restrictive. So the Rabbi Yossi says to them, look, personally, I am lenient, but you who are restrictive, odo li mihas, you should, however, concede to me, or agree with my thoughts, not concede to me in allowing zevas el goreim, but at least agree, odo li mihas, agree with my svara that according to you, af yirokos b'mois hakshamim, you should prohibit. You people should be consistent with your restrictions and prohibit the vegetation under the Asherah tree during the winter because you have a goreim of iser of the foliage. And I'm amazed, says Rabbi Yossi, that after you who are restrictive, why is it that all of a sudden there you're allowing the planting of trees under the Asherah tree during the winter? Are you not concerned about the foliage as a goreim of iser? The Rabbanan respond. The Rabbanan who do allow the planting in the Amos HaKshamim under the Asherah tree, even though they are generally restrictive, how is it that they are lenient there? Kide Omar of Mori Reid Rav Kahana. Based on the principle that we saw on Mem Ches Amid Beis that said that there's a net loss. The comment is alluded to. One can find it by looking for the arrow. Here we have an arrow indicating Mem Ches Amid Beis. If you see an arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara on Mem Ches Amid Beis indicating Mem Tes Amid Aleph, and you do see such an arrow, five lines from the bottom, he said a principle that Mashe Mashbiach Ba'or Pogem Babosar. We are not going to elaborate on that in today's shiur. That you can see, we spent a lot of time on that in our previous shiur, and we learned the Rashi on that too. But his principle basically says that if you have a net loss situation, even though there might have been partial gain, but in the final picture a net loss, then it's considered a loss. And likewise, here with regard to the planting of the vegetables under the Asherah tree, you think you're benefiting by the fertilizer that comes from the foliage, but there's a greater loss by the shade that's caused by the tree during the winter time. Therefore, we don't prohibit planting under the Asherah tree in Yemos HaKshamim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Yossi. The Gemara concludes that we will follow Rabbi Yossi, and that would come if you, according to the Maskona of the Gemara over here, that if you have Zeh v'zeh goreim, mutter. And that's what Rashi says at the very bottom of the Omid, that Halacha Rabbi Yossi is saying Zeh v'zeh goreim, mutter. Hahu ginsa, there was a garden, the izdabel b'zivlo davidus kechavim. It was fertilized using the fertilizer that was of an idolatrous origin. Shalach Rav Amram Kameder of Yosef. So the question of permissibility was sent to Rav Yosef. Amalei, Rav Yosef answered, Hochi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Yossi. And that ruling indicates that it's okay, because it's Zeh V'zeh Goreim, and Zeh V'zeh Goreim Mutter. As we turn to Amud Beis, we see at the top a new Mishnah. Before we go further, let us take advantage of our topic heading and structural note, because as we open up the mission, we also see a geometric form. We see the use of a diamond. On the outside of the outside margin, we have a nosei mivneh. The diamond is featured shnei dugmois shel taruves isur hano. The yesh machlokes tanoim im shayach pidyon. Two examples where we will have a mixture of that which is permitted with that which is usur. And is it shayach to talk about redemption, namely holachas demeho isur liyam hamelach, the taking of the value of the isur and casting it into the Dead Sea, kedei lahatir hano mikol echod ve'echod benifrad? The goal in the redemption would be that then the items that were formerly a part of a mixture, I can then take each one and benefit from them in an isolated fashion. In other words, if I have a mixture of, if I have a multiple units of things, some of which are one of which is usur and the rest are mutar, I can then sell each one separately. So that the idea here is the redemption would result in the allowance of benefiting from each item individually. Let's now turn to the Mishnah. Notal mimeno etzim. If one took from an Asherah tree, the wood from an Asherah tree, asurim b'hano. The wood is forbidden to benefit from. Hisik bohen esatanor. If he fired up an oven with it. And this, by the way, was part of the sugya that we learned on Amud Aleph. Here is the source of the quote from Amud Aleph. Im chodosh, if we're dealing with a new clay oven, and you're using the wood to fire it up to in order to strengthen the oven, to make it solid, then you tats, that oven must be smashed. V'im yoshan, then if it, however, it's an oven that was already formed under permissible circumstances, and now you're using the asher wood for the purpose of baking something for its heat value, then yutsan, you must leave the oven to cool off and not benefit from the heat. Ofa boy esapas, if he baked bread in one of these types of ovens, the chodosh or the yoshan, we saw Rashi on Amud Aleph that elaborated on this. We don't have to go over that again. You can look at Rashi on Omer Aleph and Dibra Masil Ofa. If one baked bread in one of these circumstances, Asura Bahano, the resultant bread, is forbidden to benefit from. Nisarva Bachiros, if the bread got mixed up with other mutter breads, allowed breads, Kulon Asuros Bahano, the whole mixture is forbidden. The whole group of breads, because the presence of the Asur bread forbids the rest. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Yoli Chano Liyama Melach. We've featured with a double underline with dots in it, this double underline, special double underline, just to heighten, to accentuate Rabbi Lozer's Shita. And so we see it repeated. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Yoli Chano Liyama Melach. And by the way, we've dashed underlined this to also emphasize that, so that when you see his Shita again, you'll see him saying the same thing with the dashed underline. And of course, the Gemara will deal with the question of why is it necessary to teach this source and the next example as well. Let's continue, though, in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer says that there is an option of taking the value of the of that which was forbidden and casting it into the Dead Sea, and then each bread will become mutter on its own. Amru lo, ein pidyon avodis kohavim. The Rabbonon disagree and say that there is no option of redeeming. And we can, when we speak about there's no option of redeeming, that the casting of the value into the Dead Sea will not allow the use of each bread to sell each bread separately. Whereas Rabbi Lozer says, if you redeem it, you can then sell each one off separately. Notal heimeno karkur. If one took from an Asherah tree a piece of wood and used it as a shuttle in the weaving process, this is a device that that is cast between the different rows of string that are set up on a loom. For our purposes, all we have to realize is that it's a device used in the production of clothing. So one has a karkur made of Asherah material. Osir b'hano, one is not allowed to use that. Orag bo es habeged, osir b'hano. If one wove a beged, wove up an article of clothing using this device, so the beged, the resultant beged, is forbidden to benefit from. Nisarev b'achirim b'achirim b'achirim, if this article of clothing got mixed up with others, kulon asurin b'hano, they're all forbidden to benefit from. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yoyli chano liyam ha-melach. Rozer gives the option of redeeming the taking the value of that which is prohibited and casting that money value into the Dead Sea, and then you could benefit from each one separately. Amulo ein pidyon lavodis kochavim. They said there is no redemption for that which is forbidden because of idol worship. Utsricha. Here we have a point. We're calling this a long point. You can see it's illustrated by the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this point. What, the point being, why I need an explanation, why I need both examples of the Mishnah. We have the bread example, and then the article of clothing example. Utsricha. Diashmina Kamaisa, had I taught the first example, the Ha Kama Rabbi Lezer, there Rabbi Lezer may have expressed his leniency, leniency being that there is a redemption possibility, Mishum the Be'idna de Kagamra Pas, because at the time that the bread was completed, when it was baked, Kali La Isura, that which was forbidden, namely the Asherah wood, was no longer there. It was burnt up. It had produced the heat that enabled the bread to be baked. But at the time the bread is complete, the Isur is no longer there. So being that there's no item of forbidden item, there should be no problem. Avol, there's no problem, and hence you can redeem it. Avol Karkur, the Isay the Isabene, but with regard to the utensil for the weaving of the clothing, well, when the clothing were complete, the karka was still around. So the iser is the isay the isura b'einay. It's still extant. Emo modi the rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Elazar would have, had I not been taught that, that he is lenient there too, I might have thought that he would agree with the rabbanan that there's no pityon. There's no redemption. The e ashmina and karkur, had I taught only the section of the Mishnah involving the weaving of the clothing and the karkur, the forbidden karkur, the hokrami rabbanan, maybe there and only there the rabbanan would be restrictive. Avo pas ema modi modu le the Rabbi Lezer. But in the case of the bread, not having been taught their stance, I might have thought that they would be lenient in allowing for a pidyon possibility using the svara we saw before, that when the bread was complete, the iser was no longer there. Tzricha. Therefore, I have to teach that case as well. Amar Rabbi Chiya Brei Derabo Bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Chisda Amar Ziri Halocha Kerebi Eliezer, which suggests to us that there is a redemption possibility. Ika di Amri, we have another version as far as the presentation of Halocha Kerebi Eliezer, which you see in a triangle. We have another presentation by way of the names that lead up to this. In other words, we will see in both of these cases, you'll see Rav Chisda Omar Ziri, but you'll see the names presented differently. So, Iko di Amri Omar Rav Chisda, Omar li Abo bar Rav Chisda. Hochi Omar Ziri. Here, instead of having Omar Rav Chisda Omar Ziri with Rav Chisda spelling directly citing Ziri, in the second version you have Rav Chisda citing someone who said that thusly says Ziri, Halacha Kerebi Eliezer. But as far as the outcome is concerned, the bottom line is in both Lishonos have the Halacha Kerebi Eliezer, the leniency that there is a pidyon option. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Loi Shonu Elo Pas. This idea that there is redemption for the case of the Taroves of Iser Veheter, of the mixture of Mutter and that which is allowed and that which is forbidden, that's in the case of loaves of bread. Avo Chovis Lo. This would be a case where you have a barrel of Yayin Nesech, a barrel of idolatrous wine, mixed up with barrels of kosher wine. And for this, we don't have the leniency of redemption, which would then allow for individual sale, for sales of individual barrels. Let us glance at Rashi, who's found at the upper part of the page, third line from the top, Avo Chovis Shel Yayin Nesech Shenis Arva B'Chovios Shel Heter, a barrel of idolatrous wine that got mixed up with barrels of kosher wine, Kulon Asuros Bano, they're all forbidden. The Ein Lo Takon B'Lochas Ano Yam HaMelach Lahatir U'Mocher Kol Chovis Levado, and you don't have the option of taking the value of one of the barrels and casting it into the sea to allow then for the benefit of each barrel individually. or to use the wine to give to Gentiles to drink. Mishum de'ise le'isur b'ene, because the isur is extant, is there. In other words, you've got a bunch of barrels, you've got a collection of barrels. One of them is yayin nesech mamish. This is in contrast with the case of the bread, that the bread had different inputs into it. It was formed through iser, but it's hard to say that the bread itself is pure iser. Masha'enkein, the case of the wine, the barrel of yayin nesech is pure, pure prohibition, pure iser. What then would be the case of the chavis? Avol moichron kulon chutz midmei yayin nesech shibohen. What you can do is sell the entire lot of barrels minus the value of the yayin nesech. The hashtalo mishani michavis di surah, by virtue of taking a little bit less money when you sell off the lot. You're selling off a collection of wine-filled barrels. You're not benefiting specifically from an isolated barrel of forbidden wine, and the barrel of wine that's in the mixture, in the collection of barrels, that itself you're also not benefiting from, because you're selling off the entire lot. Let's say you're selling off 100 barrels at the price of 99 barrels. So the way we treat the chavis, the mixture of chavis, is quite different than the way we would treat the mixture of breads. Whereas in the case of breads, Rabbi Eliezer allows for this pidyon, which results in the allowance to benefit from each one individually. In the case of the barrels, not so. Rav Chista Omar, afilu chavis muteris, that through the pidyon, through taking the value of one of those barrels, casting it into the Yam HaMelach, you could then sell off each barrel separately. Hahu gavra, the isarev le chavita de yayin nesech bechamrei. It was an incident involving this kind of mixture, where a barrel of yayin nesech got mixed up with his kosher wine. Also, the kamei de Rav Chisda, Omar shkoil arba zuzi v'shodi b'nahara, take four zuz, cast it into the river, v'nishteri loch, and we will allow it. The Tosfos points out, Shkol arba zuzi ulemochron kol echad b'fnei atzmo. The allowance here is then to sell off each one by itself. Omer lo kein, he said it. He said thusly, it appears Rashi, so that the this would be Rav Chista. Since the case came to Rav Chista, it was Rav Chista, you know, l'shitaso, consistent with what his ruling was. The Mishnah. Ketzad mevatla. How is bittul, the voiding of the Asherah tree, accomplished? Kirsaim, if he removed a twig from the tree. Kirsaim is the removal of some dry wood. Vizirade, or removal of fresh wood. Notal mimeno makel o sharbit, if he took from it a stick or a staff. Afilu ole, even a leaf. Areze betela, that would constitute the voiding of it. Shipa, if he chipped off from the Asherah tree, it depends. Litzarcha, if he did it for beautifying it. Asura, the Asherah tree remains forbidden. Shelo litzarcha, if he chipped off from it for his own purposes. Muteres, then the tree, that would constitute a voiding. Osan shapoyin, ma tehe alehen. In the case that he chipped off from the Asherah tree for beautification of the tree, what's the rule with regard to the chips themselves? Pligiba Ravhuna v'chiyo barav. Charamar asurin. There's a controversy between Ravhuna and chiyo barav. One says they are forbidden. V'charamar mutorin. The chips, according to the second opinion, are allowed. Tanyo kemadomer mutorin. We have a Tanaic source supporting the opinion that says they are allowed. Desanyo. We have the following source. In this source, we've emphasized with a double underline the case an Oved Kochavim and a Yisrael. Oved kechovim sheshipa avodas kechovim, a Gentile who chipped off his idol with tzorchoi for his personal purposes. He was willing to chip off his idol for personal benefit. He v'shapel mutorin, the idol itself is voided by that. He's showing us that he doesn't respect his idol anymore. He's voiding it, and the chips are mutar. L'tzorcha, if he chipped off the idol for beautifying it, he asura v'shapel mutorin. Now we've dashed underlined this expression because this is what we claimed just before when we brought the source in. We said that we have a source supporting the opinion that holds the chips are mutar. The Israel sheshipa avodas kechovim, a Jew who chipped off an idol, bein litzorcha bein litzorchoi, he v'shapel asurin. A Jew does not have the power to void idols, and as a result of that, whether he did it for beautification of the idol or even for his own purposes, the idol and the chips are forbidden. Itmar avodas kechovim shenishtab lo me'aleha. We might want to note that a sugya that had the same title to what appeared on the top part of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So if this looks familiar to some of you, you saw it over there. Before we go further, we have a little topic heading on the outside margin. Dinose, Avoda Zora, Shinishtab Rameyaleh, Ma Dinom Shalashvorim, an idol that broke on its own. What is the law regarding the pieces? Rav says tzorach levatlam. Shmuel says ain tzorach, that there's no need to void those pieces of the idol that broke on its own. The Gemara itmar avodas kechovim shenishtab lo me'aleha, an idol that broke on its own. Rav omar tzorach levatel kol kesam v'kesam. Rav says that each chip, each piece, needs a separate voiding. In other words, the voiding that I do to one chip doesn't affect the next one. Ushmuel Omar, we have a brackets you can see here, and the note that accompanies this is Yesh Loshem Besogrem, Yesh Loshem Shmuel She'eno Mesukon. We have a version that's not accurate. So we recommend skipping this momentarily. It says Shmuel Omar, Ein avodas kechovim tzricha levatel ela derech gedilosa. That's the accurate version of Shmuel. But before we explain that even, let's go over the Gemara with the bracketed section. Ushmuel amar avodas kechovim eino betela ela derech gedilosa. An idol becomes void if it's falling apart or it's breaking, is if it's in its normal course of development. The Gemara to that reacts, Adarabba, quite the opposite. Derech gedilosa mi mevatlo. If this is its normal development, let us cite as an example, we have the case of a tree shedding its, an idolatrous tree shedding its leaves. The shedding of its leaves, that would not be its voiding, that's its normal development. Ela hochikomar, rather the more accurate presentation of Shmuel would be thusly. Ein avodas kechovim tzricha levatel ela derech gedilosa. An idol that's falling apart doesn't need voiding. It's, as Rashi points out, if it fell apart on its own, and it's not its normal growth, the idol worshipper figures it can't save itself. How could it possibly save me? So he thereby, it's obviously abandoning it. So when is it that an idol requires voiding during its, let's say, its falling apart? That is if it's elo derech gedilosa, if that's its normal course of development. Lema b'ha komiflugi. We have a question here, and we also have a geometric form, the house form. This is explained by the note on the outside margin, the mivneh. So you see a house form featured. Shalosh nisyonos, three attempts to hasbir be'ezen nisibos choykin Rav u'Shmuel, to figure out under what circumstances are Rav and Shmuel arguing. Just to review, when dealing with an avodah zarah that breaks on its own, we saw Rav saying that you have to mevatel each chip. Shmuel says no need. So let's now continue in the Gemara. Lema b'halka mifli, stage one or attempt one. Let us say that this is their point of controversy. Damar sovar. Rav would hold that they worship pieces, that even though it broke, they would continue worshiping the pieces. Umar Sobar, Shmuel would say, Ein Oivdin Lishvarim. They wouldn't worship the pieces, and hence no need to avoid them. Loi. No, that's not the point of controversy. The Kulei Alma Ovdin Lishvarim. We can posit the idea that that Rav and Shmuel also would agree that pieces are worshipped. V'hocha b'shivrei shvarim komiflegi. The topic over which Rav and Shmuel are arguing concerns the pieces that broke. The broken pieces themselves broke into further units, further breaking. Shivrei shvarim. Mar sovar shivrei shvarim asurin. That would be Rav would hold that the pieces of the pieces are still asur, and hence they would need bittul. Umar sovar Shmuel would say shivrei shvarim mutarim. The Eboy Esema, the Kulei Alma, Shivrei Shvarim Mutarin. According to this alternative answer, everyone would agree that if it's broken that far, the pieces are broken into pieces, everyone would agree, even Rav, that they're Mutar. The Hocha in the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, Bavodes Kechovim Shochulios Ubehedet Shiochol Avzira Komifligi. Notice with our phrase marking, it makes this much easier to read. The singular quotation marks enclose the expression Avodes Kechovim Shochulios Ubehedet Shiochol Avzira. This is an idol that's made by coupling together pieces, chulios, couplets that are attached, and in the event that it becomes, that it falls apart, you wouldn't need an artisan, you would not need a professional, rather anyone, a commoner, would be able to put it together. And so we have an idol like that, an idol that's made of couplets that fell apart. What is the din with regard to the pieces, the chulios? So it's this komifligi that Rav and Shmuel are arguing over. Morsovar, keep the hedit yochol lahachzira lo betela. Rav would hold that since a commoner is able to put it together, an unskilled individual could reassemble this idol, the pieces are not botel. The fact that it broke apart does not constitute its bittul, and therefore you would need, if you want to use it, you would need the goy, the Gentile would have to void it. Umar sovar ein avodis kechovim betela elo derech gedilosa. Now this expression means that an idol does not require voiding unless its breaking apart is its normal form of growth. Only then, like the case of the foliage falling off the tree, only then would there be a need for voiding. Let's read that again. Umar sovar ein avodis kechovim betelo elo derech didilosa dehainu urche, because that's its normal way, and that since it's its normal natural way, it doesn't constitute a voiding. Ha lav derech didilosa. However, if something is not its normal way, and in this case, it's not normal for an idol that's made of pieces, of couplets, to just fall apart. So since it's not derech gedilasa, ha lav gedilasa hi, the ein sricha levatel, and therefore there's no need for bittel, as Shmuel says, it's botel on its own. With that, we complete the third perek, and now continue to the fourth parak, the new Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shalosh Avonim Zu Bitzad Markalis Asuros. Three stones positioned next to the other near a large Markalis that was already served. Those three stones are forbidden. Ushtayim utaros. However, two stones would be allowed. A markalis is the name of an idol that was made of stone, a stone setup, and in fact it was served by casting additional stones at it. V'chachomim omrim, sheniros imoy asuros. Those that appear with it are forbidden. V'shein niros imo mutaros. those that don't appear with it are allowed. This Mishnah is a bit vague. The Gemara will spend a good deal of time defining under what circumstances things are usur and things are mutter. The Gemara opens up with a question. In other words, the Gemara will say that I can understand the Shita of the Rabbanan, but the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel needs clarification. So we've indicated this with a long question mark, and you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating the length of the question. Bishlamo Rabbanan Kosavri Oivdin Lishvaran. The Rabbanan Shita is premised on the idea that pieces of something, pieces of an idol, are also worshipped. They are willing to worship even the pieces of an idol. Therefore, Nirois Imo, if you have stones that appear with it, with the markless, the Ikolamemar Mine Nofal, one might say that these stones that appear with it fell off of the original markless, Asuros, since it fell from the idol, and they would represent pieces of that which was originally an idol, and they are worshipped, they are oivdin l'shvarim, so they're asuros. She'ein niros imo. If the stones don't appear to be with it, mutaros, even if they happen to be three of them. Elo Rabbi Shmuel, my kosovar. Rabbi Shmuel, who said that if they're three, they're forbidden. If they're two, they're not forbidden. What is his opinion? E oivdin l'shvarim, if they would worship pieces, afilu tarti nami litzar, even if they're two, they should be forbidden. Even one, Tosfos says, even one would be forbidden. E ein oivdin l'shvarim, if they don't worship pieces, afilu tlas nami lo, then even three should not be forbidden. Before we go on in the Gemara, we can glance at the side, no say. The topic here is Hezber Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel v'Chomer Mishnosenu. We're here to now explain their controversy. We have a Mivneh, we have a diamond featured, Mosai, Ein, and Yesh Machlokes. So you'll see the diamonds focusing on when there is and when there is no Machlokes. We've also used a double underline to accentuate the expression divrei hakol, where there's agreement, and ki pligi, when there is a machlokas. So the Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Rav Yochanan, biyodua shenoshru mimenu. If you know that the stones came from the markalis, divrei hakol asuros. Everyone will agree that the stones are forbidden, even according to the opinion that says they do not worship broken pieces. Hani mili, that is true that they would not worship the pieces. When you're dealing with an avodah zorah, that it's unusual for it to appear in pieces. Avol hocha, but in the case of markalis, the meikora tavuri mitbari, the original idol called Markalis was never attached. It was basically a pile of stones, and it's normal for stones to fall away, to roll off a pile. Hainu urche, the individual stones are its way, and as a result of that, the stones wouldn't fall under the category of, let's say, ein ovdin l'shvarim. These are still, we'll call that, serious stones in the minds of the worshippers of Markalis, because these stones are normal. It is normal for them to roll off their idol. Kipligi bestamo. The machlokis would be in a case where it's stam, where I don't know that it came from the Markalis. We have a brackets here. We're going to take advantage of the brackets and skip for our first reading the bracketed sections. We have two sections of brackets that we see at the top of Nun Amud Aleph. So what we do in our first reading is skip the bracketed sections, get a sense of the flow of the Gemara, and then go over it again. So we say ki pligi bistamo. The machlokes appears in a case where it's not yodua, it's not known for sure that it came from that these stones came from the markalis. Second line, bimruchokos. Ruchokos means more than an amo, but within 4 amos of the markalis. Skipping again, Rabbi Shmuel Sovar, oisin markalis koton betzar markalis godol. Rabbi Shmuel holds that they will make a small markalis next to a large one. Shalosh, 3 stones to damian markalis asuros. 3 stones, which is similar to a markalis, the basic markalis, the original markalis, in fact, is made by setting up 3 stones and then pelting it. So the finding of 3 stones in this Meruchokos fashion, within 4 amos of a real Markalis, more than 1 amo away from it, since they look like a Markalis, they are forbidden. Shtayim mutoros. 2, though, they don't look like a Markalis, they're mutter. Rabbonon tzavri, ein oisin Markalis koton betzad Markalis godol. The Rabbonon hold that practice is not done. Lo yishna shalosh, velo yishna shtayim. Doesn't matter whether it's 3 nor 2. Nirois imoi, if they're very close, then asuros. They are forbidden because they're considered still part of the Avodah Zorah. She'ein nirois imo, if they're not very close, then mutoros, because that would be called shvorim. They would be called pieces. Now we have to go over the Gemara again with all of the bracketed information. It might be pointed out that the Gemara after the 2 dots continues to refine the shitos and the descriptions that we've just been involved with. But for the time being, we will read the Gemara with the bracketed section and conclude at the 2 dots. We say here, ki pligi bistamo, the last 3 words of the bottom of Mem Tesomet Bey, says that the machlokis is in a case of stamo. Bemekurovois nami deiko lemeimar mine nofal devria kol asuros. Mekurovos means within an amo, it's very close. So if you have a situation like that, everyone will agree that the stones are forbidden. Ki pligi bimeruchokos. The machlokus arises in a case where there is a distance. And we explain the distance being within 4 amos, but more than an amo away. In such a case, it's Rashi says, devadai lav mine nofel. If it's more than an amo away, even though it's within 4 amos, it definitely did not roll off the original markalis. So the machlokas is bimeruchokos. The Gemara asks in the parentheses, in the brackets, how can you say that it's meruchokos? Vaha betzad markalis katoni. The Mishnah used the expression that he found stones betzad markalis. Now, the expression betzad means, sounds like right next to, not meruchokos. So the Gemara says, my betzad, what does that expression mean? Betzad arba amos didei. It means within 4 amos of it, but not literally next to it. And hence the term meruchokos is an accurate term to describe the circumstances of the machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel Sovar. Rabbi Shmuel holds, oisin markalis koton betzad markalis godol, that they would practice this, make a small markalis next to a main markalis. Shalosh de damian the markalis asuros. 3 stones, which Rabbi Shmuel featured in the Mishnah as being forbidden. Why? Because 3 is similar to a markalis. As we mentioned before, the original markalis was made by setting up 3 stones. So the finding of 3 stones near a markalis would be a fulfillment of this idea of making a small one near a large one. Shtayim mutos. However, 2 stones, which don't resemble a markalis, are allowed. Rabbonon Savri, ein oisin markalis koton betzad markalis godol. They don't practice that. They don't make small markalis idols next to large ones. Lo shno shalosh velo shno shtayim. No distinction between 3 or 2. Therefore, niroisimo, if we find stones very close, then asuros. then they're forbidden because they are considered the avodah zarah, part of the avodah zarah itself. She'ein niros imo mutaros, because if it's not niros imo, then they are not, they are considered just shvorim, and hence they are allowed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.